101.1 The Sports Animal brings you inside the fight game of the MMA.
Oh my God.
With a weekly one-hour show.
Wow!
In the Cage MMA Radio.
Dude, this might be a bad idea.
Hosts Vince Ferrara and Tim Loy bring you a unique perspective from inside the sport. Vince is an MMA lead commentator, cage side at many events. Tim Loy is a former MMA organization president and current matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge.
From the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Get big-time national MMA interviews, pay-per-view recaps and previews, matchmaking, predictions, strong opinions, compelling content, weekly things you'll learn, and more on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Three-minute rounds. We're underway in Knoxville.
Here's Vince Ferrara.
Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal. Good Friday night to you. I am Vince Ferrara. It's fight week again for both Valor Fighting Challenge and the UFC. Excited to get the MMA going, and we got a lot to break down because of it. My co-host, as always, he's the matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge. That will be one Tim Loy. Tim, how are you, sir?
Oh, man, it's been a wild week, of course. You know, we're back in action here this evening with a VFC card and trying to stay tuned in to all this UFC talk as well.
That's right. And you would not be a matchmaker if you didn't have to have audibles at the line of scrimmage. So we'll get into that on the way. But we got to break down that UFC card in Vegas. We got Conor McGregor news. We've got our top five bold predictions in the UFC regarding championships. So that'll be fun. We'll see if Tim and I have some of the same picks and what we think about. We'll go through each division in the UFC and see what bold predictions we can come up with and see what you think of them as well. So we got a lot to get to. So let's jump into our big three stories in the sport. At number one, the UFC is back Saturday in Las Vegas. The main event tomorrow night, Tim, will be Alistair Overeem and Alexander Volkov, two veterans. Overeem is, as you've referred to him, one of the OGs in the sport, trying to make one last title run. That's the main event. It's a pretty nice main card. You got ranked fighters in all five of those main card bouts.
Yeah, I think every fight on the main card is relevant, if you will. You know, there's really not too much throwaway on this main card, and it's a big heavyweight fight for both these guys. I think, we'll talk about it in more detail later in the show, but, you know, I think that this is, Overeem said this is his final run at the title, so we're going to see if he's going to be able to knock off a tough guy in Volkov and catapult himself into a big fight. I think with a win, he's maybe one more win away from a title fight, and a loss, potentially retirement.
No doubt. And then co-main event, Corey Sandhagen, who's number two in that bantamweight division, taking on veteran Frankie Edgar. You got Alexander Pantoja, a top five flyweight, against Menno Kappe, and then Cody Stamann against Askar Askar, and then Diego Fajeia against Benil Dariush in that lightweight division. Dariush, of course, finding Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman, and one of those guys that's been right there in the entry to the top 15 as well. So there's lots to get to on that UFC card, back in action tomorrow night after taking last week off after they had all the travel Fight Island. Number two in our big three stories in the sport, Conor McGregor Instagram post. He typically does this at some point after his fight where he just lays out, gives you all the breakdown of what he thought about his performance, and then also mentioned that he wants a trilogy with Dustin Poirier. He said it wasn't the trilogy he was expecting or the tactical affair he was anticipating. And even Dustin Poirier is like, hey, we're going to do it. Well, let's go. The question is this the right thing for the division and the sport, Tim, in your opinion?
You know, whatever Conor wants is probably what Conor's going to get. And I'm sure Dustin Poirier is certainly happy being in the Conor McGregor business. And there's no other business that pays better. And I think that is right now, Poirier is trying to make as much money as he can in the biggest fights he can get. So, you know, I think both those guys would be, down for it if that's what the UFC felt would sell. But I think regardless, if McGregor gets his mindset on something, that's probably what he's going to get, whether it's for better or worse. I personally would like to just see some of these other matchups that are on the table out there with the new blood in the division, Michael Chandler and guys like that. But yeah, it is what it is. I would predict we will get a trilogy.
Isn't it belt versus money for Poirier? Is this what it comes down to? Like, if he's presented the money fight with Connor, he might have to put off chasing the title to go get the money. But then what if he loses to Connor? Then he's not going to get the shot at the title, at least not yet. Isn't that the fork in the road for Poirier?
Yeah, and I think he's choosing money. I mean, I believe I read something where he said that he was happy to step back and let the other guys figure out the title situation and step back out of that picture because he knows he's the uncrowned champion. That tells me, yeah, he'd rather be in the Conor McGregor business.
Yeah, very interesting. We'll obviously have a lot more on that and a lot more on that stacked division. All right, number three in our big three stories in the sport of mixed martial arts here on In the Cage MMA Radio weekly, 8 to 9 p.m. every Friday night here on 99.1 The Sports Animal and streaming at 99.1thesportsanimal.com and on the free WNML mobile app as well. Tim, it's VFC 78. It's tonight at the Cotton Eye Joe. It's a card that is stacked with championship bouts. There's been a late change to it, so we've been talking about how five belts will be on the line. One, unfortunately, due to injury, had to drop, but still four belts, all amateur card, world famous Cotton Eye Joe tonight. But give us some of the highlights the fans can expect of VFC 78.
Yeah, we're excited, of course. With a big card like this, there's always a lot of shuffling at the last minute, especially just given the landscape of things. But unfortunately, we lost the Carter Beekman's 170 title defense. He had an aggravated hand injury this week. So we're down to four title fights. Still a great card. We got the heavyweight strap on the line. CJ Baker's looking to stay undefeated as he's taking on the Pride Slayer, Jesse Romans from up in Kentucky. That's going to be a war between two big boys that want to throw leather. We've got the flyweight champion, Kyle Lindner, who's spent less than 30 seconds in the cage total between his last two fights. He's defending his strap against one of Nathan Train Landwehr's teammates, Shamar Perez out of Team Wildside out in Clarksville. Andrew Sturdivant from down in Chattanooga will come up and try to regain that 145 strap that he had. He lost to Garrett Sharp, and now he's going to try to get it back. Now that Sharp's gone pro, that title's vacant. He'll take on Joel Winters. And then our final title fight, the main event, that is Torres Finney taking on Tristan Scarborough. Torres Finney is just an absolute blue chip prospect, top level wrestler, plays football at the University of Chattanooga, and just an explosive specimen of a guy. He's one you want to keep an eye on. And then there's lots of other up and comers, a lot of debuts. Bronson Bezorgi, a guy we've seen several times out of KMAA. He's trying to stay undefeated. He's 4-0. It's overall a really fun card with a lot of up and comers. These amateurs, they really go for it.
The Punisher, football player Chattanooga, and that's why even if he is able to be successful, get the strap, and have great success as an amateur, gonna have to stay there in order to keep your college eligibility. But you know what? Keep getting work in there, and he's still a young guy, so that works out great. That's pretty cool to have a football player as your champ if it works out that way.
Yeah, most definitely. And he's such a charismatic guy. I don't know if you've been at one of his fights yet or not, but just a charismatic young man, really put together both the total package, athletically, and he can talk. So he's a guy that I'm real high on, but he's gonna have a tough one. Scarborough's coming in at 3-0. From North Carolina, two big boys, and we've not had a light heavyweight champion in quite some time, so I'm really excited to crown a new one.
Four straps on the line. Tell everyone how they can watch us and enjoy all the action.
We'll be running at the Joe till about 10 o'clock tonight, maybe 10:30. And then if you can't be there live, you can watch the live pay-per-view, which is on the VFCMMA.com website, and the link's also on all of our social media sites. And you can catch Vince calling all the action.
That's right. I'll be with Greg Hopkins, speaking of champs and belts, and Christina Roadhouse Ricker Adcock. Looking forward to talking with them and getting their insights on the great card. Check us out, VFCMMA.com. We'll have that pay-per-view you can enjoy or get your tickets. FighterTix.com, not only for this show, but future shows as well at the world-famous Cotton Eye Joe. So what's the next date for VFC real quick, Tim,
we'll
after
be back.
This one?
We'll be back in exactly 1 month. March the 5th will be a BFC 79. And that we've rebooked that Carter Beekman title defense against Samaj Portis, as well as our 155 revolving door. The 155 title's on the line that show. Brandon the Honey Badger McGee from Greenville takes on Parker the Viking Wadman from KMAA. That'll be your main event.
That's Tim Loy, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge. I am Vince Ferrara here on In the Cage MMA Radio. We will go through division by division in the UFC and share our bold predictions regarding titles in the UFC. That's next on In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1 The Sports.
Now it's time for In the Cage MMA Radio's weekly marquee interview, letting you hear from the personalities inside the sport. In the Cage.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal with Tim Loy. I am Vince Ferrara. Thanks for joining us each week here on the Sports Animal, 8 to 9 on Friday nights during the basketball season. And we're still going to preview tomorrow night's UFC show. That'll be in our next segment in about 15-ish minutes. You don't want to miss that, as we'll break down the entire card with the UFC returning to Las Vegas at the Apex for UFC Vegas 18. No interview this week. What we want to do is go through, since we're early in 2021, the UFC is just gotten going with a few shows of Fight Island. So we want to make some bold predictions regarding championships in the UFC. So what Tim and I are going to do is we're going to go through each of the division and talk, tell you about the champ and see if there's anyone that we feel good about making a bold prediction that will take that strap away from the champ. And then you can follow along as we do that and say, no, I disagree, or you missed this one. And make your own bold predictions that maybe something we missed or maybe something you agree or disagree with. So a little fun exercise in looking through the UFC. We'll start with the women, and the double champ is Amanda Nunes. The featherweight division, the bantamweight division. Tim, we'll start there. I think this will be a short conversation. Is there anyone that you feel like in a bold prediction you want to say will take a strap away from Amanda Nunes?
Unfortunately not. I don't see anyone coming close. And, you know, I think in, you know, some realities, you would say it is a bold prediction for Amanda Nunes to just hold both titles all year long. But that's just how it's going to be, man. I don't see anyone upsetting the apple cart there.
I agree. I just don't see it. You got veterans. Juliana Pena certainly called out Amanda Nunes and said she was running, but that's certainly not the case. A number of these fighters have already had a shot, or they just don't seem seasoned enough to be that close to a title shot. That means somebody can't develop, but just don't see it right now. So no bold prediction with the women's bantamweight and featherweight divisions, with Amanda Nunes staying as the champ there. Now, women's flyweight division, the champ is Valentina Shevchenko. Any bold predictions in this division, Tim, with anyone up and coming?
Man, I'm sorry, but I just can't. I still don't have anyone that's going to upset her either. You know, I think we might, you know, get some matches where, you know, there may be a slight amount of intrigue, but I don't see anyone really topping Bullet.
With these divisions, Tim, it's hard to find anyone, not just that could beat the champ, that deserves the next shot, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really a hard, it's really just all you can do is wait on them to kind of beat on each other and maybe rack up a win streak. But even then, they're going to be massive underdogs.
There is no bold prediction in the women's flyweight division in the UFC. It's going to stay with Bullet Valentina Shevchenko. Women's strawweight division, we'll see if we go there. Weili Zhang is the champ. And this division has some depth. It has a former champ in Joanna Jędrzejczyk. It's got another former champ in Rose Namajunas. It's got some talented fighters in the middle of the rankings and an up-and-comer, a couple of up-and-comers in Hibas and Mackenzie Dern. Anyone you're willing to put a bold prediction on to take the strap away in that women's strawweight division in the UFC?
I can't say that I do. I think that we're going to get some good fights. I do think, you know, maybe we get the rematch with Joanna. Maybe we get that and it's a fun fight, but I still think that Zhang is the favorite. I think, yeah, there's some other intriguing fights you get, like Mackenzie Dern. I think they wanted to get Hebus in there, but now she's going to, you know, be back a few slots. I think more or less I could just take the entire women's division and say that it'll stay put through this year.
Yes, but you agree that if something is going to happen that's shocking, it would be in this division, right?
Yeah. No doubt. The fights are much more competitive at the very least.
Now, we get to the men. We'll start with the heavyweight division and work our way down. Stipe, of course, is the UFC heavyweight champion. He's got a title defense against the number one contender in Francis Ngannou coming up here in early 2021. Tim, you got a bold prediction for the heavyweight division. Is someone taking the strap from Stipe?
Yeah, we'll go there on this one. I'm going to say Francis wins. I think he knocks out Stipe. I think he does it impressively, and I think he holds the strap through the whole year, potentially even staving off a John Jones attempt.
Oh, you know, if Francis Ngannou gets the strap, that John Jones is going to get himself in there quick. I'm with you. That's one of my bold predictions. And maybe for some, it's not that bold. But in some of these divisions, it's hard to say that the champ is going to lose. Right. So that counts as a bold prediction. I agree with you entirely. I have Ngannou winning that fight, and I don't see anyone beating him for a while through 2021. Of course, that will be the main event at UFC 260 on March 27th. There'll also be Volkanovski and Ortega in a title fight on that card as well. So we'll get to some of that a little bit later. So one bold prediction we've both got is Ngannou over Stipe and keeping that belt through 2021. Light heavyweight division. This is interesting as well, as of course, Jan Blachowicz is the light heavyweight champion, and he is defending his strap against Israel Adesanya Saturday, March 6th at UFC 259. Do you think that Blachowicz is going to lose his strap? And if so, who is it going to be that takes it from him?
Yeah, I think Blachowicz is going to be one of these short-term title holders, you know. I think that Adesanya is going to get the title from him. I think this will kind of play into our next weight division too, but I think Adesanya is going to be the champ throughout this year, and he's going to figure out a way to defend and hold on to both straps.
I'm with you on that. We share it. That's another bold prediction I have. It's exactly like you. Israel Adesanya is going to win that light heavyweight strap, and he's basically going to be Amanda Nunes in holding two belts, and then there not be any contenders in either one of those weight classes. So we might as well move on to that middleweight division, because it does, like you said, connect to what our bold prediction is in the light heavyweight division, and that's the middleweight champ in Israel Adesanya. There's some good fighters in that middleweight division, Tim. I know there's not anyone that I think will beat Adesanya. Guys at top are fighting one another and matching up, but that doesn't mean that they're on Adesanya's level, right?
No, I think that there's a little more intrigue at 185 there. You got those contenders like Vettori that I'm high on that maybe could get up there and knock off a Whitaker and get a win like that. That would kind of warrant a rematch with Adesanya, one of the few guys that's been able to stretch him out a little bit, you know, and they may could sell that with a little more build on Vettori.
That's a great point. And you've got a little bit later on in the year, once we get into the spring, you got Till versus Vettori, which is a 4-5 matchup. You got Whitaker versus Costa, which is 1-2. So, you know, there's some of those contenders fighting one another. Maybe they'll separate to get in a position for the belt. I love the Paisan Marvin Vettori as well, and he may be the one guy that would be different to get up there. I'm not willing to say he's on Adesanya's level, so not willing to go there with the bold prediction. All right, we're rolling through our bold predictions. We're going division by division in the UFC and seeing if we have any bold predictions on championship turnover with these belts for the champions. And we move to the welterweight division in the UFC, and Kamaru Usman is going to defend his belt against the number two contender in Gilbert Burns. That is the next pay-per-view. That will be next weekend. We'll have a full preview of that card. Can't wait for that fight. Does Burns or anyone else, bold prediction, Tim, take the strap from Kamaru Usman?
Man, I don't know if it's that bold a prediction to say that Burns does. I think he's live in this fight. I don't think that I would be really going out on a limb to really predict that he gets this win. I still will side on this on with the champ Usman here, so I'm not going to make a bold prediction on it. But you know, it's a close fight for sure. If we see Gilbert Burns return in the same vein that he was when we last saw him, he's certainly going to be live.
Is there any other challenger in the division, in your opinion?
I could see them maybe trying to prop Wonder Boy up there now. It's just a different look than from what he's seen, but I don't necessarily like that style matchup for him either. You know, Usman, you know, there's guys like Colby Covington and guys like that can talk up the fight and still be live in those fights. But I wouldn't be willing to say that, you know, that anyone's going to unseat him.
I'm with you. Burns could do it. I'm not willing to go there, though, because I don't know what Burns is going to be like after that long layoff, when before that he was on a roll. Mm-hmm. All right, moving to the lightweight division. Habib is the champ right now. Don't know if he's going to come back. Didn't seem promising to Dana White after the last UFC show. Dustin Poirier is certainly in great position. Maybe one win in perhaps a title type of belt if it is vacated, maybe against a Michael Chandler. That all still needs to be played out. We're talking about Connor before, and there's a lot of different directions that you can go. But do you have a bold prediction on this lightweight championship that's currently held by Habib, Tim?
Yeah, I'm going to go out there and say that we see Habib return this year, probably later in the year after some things have kind of, you know, like settled. I don't think that the lightweight division's kind of a mess. I feel like it's still kind of it's still just so unclear as to what's going on. There's really so little direction. So I think that we will see Habib return later in the year, but not until we just see somebody truly emerge as you know, that guy.
He swayed me a little bit. And when you were talking about Poirier suddenly seeming like he was going towards the cash championship, but I'm going to go with Poirier winning the belt, the vacated belt. But I also would see Habib coming back and taking it from him when he does. Sure. So yes, we got a change of championship in the lightweight division, but it's only because I think Habib will cough it up and then later on say, forget this nonsense, I'm coming back and taking what's mine. All right, we move to the featherweight division. Alexander Volkanovski is the champion. Terrific depth, I think, and some rising stars in this division as well. Tim, you got Volkanovski and Ortega that will fight in the spring. What do you think about that featherweight division? You get a bold prediction.
I toyed around with the idea of saying that a bold prediction would be for Max Holloway to return and have a trilogy with Alex Volkanovski and get the title back. But I'm not 100% sold that Volkanovski gets past Ortega here. So that prediction could be thrown off before it ever, you know, has a chance to come to light. So I'm not going to go with any bold predictions here, but I'm certainly interested to see how that featherweight title plays out. And if Max is right back into the picture, as he probably should be.
I will go with a bold prediction here. I do think that Ortega is going to be Volkanovski and win that title. And then it's easy. Then Max gets Ortega and then they roll with that. Either way, I think it works out for Max, because I think he would get that third crack at Alexander if he holds on to the belt. But I think it'll be Ortega and you got Zabit after that will put his name in there, try to get a shot afterwards. But that's a bold prediction that I'm going with, is Ortega winning that featherweight strap. Bantamweight division. The bantamweight title is held by Petr Yan, and Yan has that long anticipated title defense against Aljamain Sterling. Tim, what do you think about Yan and that bantamweight strap? You got a bold prediction in this division?
I don't. I do think Yan is going to get past Sterling. I don't know what they will line up next for him. There's some it's an interesting division, you know, with a lot of up and comers. But I don't really have a bold prediction there. I think that's a very fluid situation that could certainly change just depending on how some of these fights go in the lead up.
I'm going to go bold prediction as well. I like Aljamain Sterling. I think he's one of those guys like a Charles Oliveira that slept on, and he's been around for a little bit, not as long as Oliveira, but he's a guy that constantly, because he's overlooked, has a chip on his shoulder, and he keeps getting better. I do think that he's going to win that bantamweight strap. Now, there's competition in that division. Who knows if he keeps it through 2021, but I will go with a change in that bantamweight division with the title. All right, flyweight division, as we wrap up going through division by division here in the UFC with Tim Loy and Vince Ferraro. Davison Figueiredo, the flyweight champion, he was taken to the limit by Brandon Moreno, who is still the number one contender. Tim, do you see a bold prediction within this division?
I'm gonna go there for my last one here. I'm gonna say that we do see the return of Henry Cejudo in 2021. Now, I think a lot of this is gonna hinge on Davison Figueiredo winning this rematch with Brandon Moreno. Is that set? Is that going to happen? Am I kind of jumping the gun? Is that a, I just assume that's a thing.
I haven't seen that listed, but that doesn't mean it hasn't practically been done.
One would assume that's the next move. Right. Assuming Figueiredo gets past Moreno, the talk probably turns to, you know, there are no contenders. Figueiredo is the man. A lot of a lot of praise on Figueiredo. Cejudo is going to get that blood boiling, I think, when I come back and let everybody know who the king of the flyweights is. Now, if Moreno upsets the apple cart, that's retracted, because I don't see that being a fight that Cejudo would get too excited about coming back for.
Here's a bold prediction. Askar Askarov will, in 2021, win that flyweight division. Now, that's what I wrote down. I got to be honest with you, Tim. I like yours with Cejudo coming back better than mine.
Yours is more bold, I think.
That's true. Mine is bolder, but I think yours makes sense. Retirement, I mean, give me a break. None of us bought it when it happened. I think he's just waiting for the right opportunity. And to your point, it's more likely to happen if Figueiredo stays the champ and there's no other contenders. But man, I certainly see Cejudo coming back. So we'll combine the two. I'll say that Askarov will get a title shot, win it, and then Cejudo at some point will come back and win the strap from whoever holds it in 2021. So there you go. We had some chalk. We had some bold predictions as well. Hope you enjoyed that. Let us know if there was anything that maybe you disagreed with, anything we might have missed. Well, we'll come back and revisit those at some point as well. Full preview of UFC Vegas 18 tomorrow night. The UFC is back. Overeem, Volkov, the entire card. We'll break it down next on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Internet.
What big events are coming up in MMA?
Well, right now, Vince and Tim have the answers.
This is the pay-per-view and MMA show preview on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal. Alongside Tim Loy, I am Vince Ferrara. Each week on our podcast, which you can get either on our website at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Just go to the audio or show tab and you can get all of our archive podcasts there, or wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Apple, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, just search for In the Cage MMA Radio. Subscribe to it, rate, share, and tell your friends about the show. It's on the radio live 8 to 9 each Friday night, and then you can get our podcast that we will post shortly after our show each week. All right, it's preview time. We preview upcoming shows, and the UFC is going to throw out a whole bunch of them here pretty much weekly for a while since they're back in Vegas, Tim. And the main event is fifth-ranked heavyweight Alistair Overeem, a veteran of 65 fights, one of the all-time greats, taking on sixth-ranked Alexander Volkov, who's a 45-fight veteran himself. Last I saw, Volkov was a minus 190, Tim. What do you think first about that line?
Well, it's flipped. Originally, Overeem opened at minus 125 favorite, and they've smashed Volkov all the way up to nearly minus 200 in some spots, with Overeem coming back at plus 165. That's a real juicy price on Overeem. I love it. You know, I think that Overeem's chin issues is probably what has the money going the other way. You know, he's been knocked out, but so is Volkov, you know. And Overeem, it's overlooked the fact that Overeem's grappling has come such a long way over the years. He's got 17 submission wins. He uses his grappling to his advantage now. He fights very smart and technical. He's not just out there winging haymakers. And so I like Overeem in this fight, honestly.
I'm with you. I like Overeem to win straight up, and especially if you're going to get underdog odds on it, I would go that direction. I think he's continued to look good. And part of the deal is I think he continues to get better and smarter defensively. So he's not just reckless taking shots. So I think that's part of his deal, and seeming like maybe at times in his career, his chin might be an issue. I don't think he puts himself in those situations as much. And I don't know that Volkov is going to be able to do that to him. Certainly he's got power and size. Of course, he's the younger fighter as well. But to me, I still favor Overeem and his expertise and his different ways where he can win. How do you see the fight playing out?
Overeem will likely use his takedowns and get a ground and pound victory. His teammate, one of his main training partners, is Curtis Blades, who just got a win over Volkov in June of last year. So I'm sure the game plan, you know, the blueprint is there. Overeem's ground and pound is much more aggressive and damaging than Blades. So I think he gets him out of there, second or third round.
The Demolition Man over Drago in a nice battle of nicknames with these two. I'm going with Overeem as well.
It's a big fight for both guys, Vince. I mean, honestly, you know, I think Volkov at 32 has still got some more years on him. But if Overeem loses this fight, it could very well be the last time we see him fight, because he wants to go after that title. As he said, he'll retire if he gets the title. And a loss here would certainly set him back, you know, another year at least towards that.
So in the division, you've got Ngannou, who's ranked number one right now. He's going to get the next title shot. Overeem's teammate Curtis Blades there at two. Yair Rozenstruik at three. Derek Lewis at four. And you got Blades and Lewis fighting upcoming in 2021. So let's say Overeem wins this fight. Maybe he wins it convincingly. What's that one next fight for him before he can maybe earn a title shot, in your opinion?
Man, that's really hard to say. I think that you know, Blades is his teammate and is kind of like waiting in line ahead of him, you know. So, I really don't know. I think that if he wins this one, you know, maybe we see Derek Lewis, depending on how Lewis and Blades goes. If Lewis manages to beat Blades, you know, then that for Overeem is likely his best case scenario.
Mm-hmm. I think part of it would depend also on not only how this fight goes, but how the Ngannou-Stipe fight goes. You know how it is. If the title changes hands, or if it's so razor thin, the difference between the two, let's be honest, it's a great fight and it's close. They're going to run it back. So then all these other guys are going to have to wait and then add another fight before they can get in the picture again.
Yeah, 100%. You know, even best case scenario, Overeem goes out there and gets this win. You know, he's still got near a year before he's sniffing a title fight. And that's with things kind of going his way. That's with like maybe Blades getting pushed out of the picture, you know.
No doubt. All right, co-main event, pretty good one as well. Corey Sandhagen, the number two bantamweight against a fourth-ranked bantamweight in veteran Frankie Edgar. Sandhagen, the heavy favorite, minus 440, Tim. That's what I saw. What do you think about the odds, and how do you see this going down?
I do think that Sandhagen is the rightful favorite, but that's too wide. You know, I've got to take a little sprinkle at Frankie Edgar at plus 300 or more than 300, at plus 350 in some spots. You know, just so much veteran savvy. We're in the smaller cage now that we're back at the apex, which may prevent Sandhagen from being able to stay at distance the whole time like he's going to want to. If Edgar can get a hold of him and grind him up against the cage, there's certainly a path to victory.
Fifth rank Alexander Pantoja against Manel Capé in a flyweight bout.
Capé, he is a very hot prospect from over. He's fought a lot in Asia for Ryzen. And so he is a commodity, and coming in with some notoriety. outside the UFC. Pantoja is like minus 130, so it's right. More or less a pick 'em. They're putting him right there with him. The odds are negligible, but I like Pantoja here. The grappling I think will be too much. The one time that that Capé has fought a strong grappler, he did not win, and Pantoja is a solid black belt.
Also on the main card, Cody Stamann versus Askar Askar in that featherweight bout. Tim, who do you like in this one?
I like Cody Stamann, originally to face Andre Yule, which I think would have been a tougher ask, but I still would have liked Stamann in that fight as well. This is actually Askar Askar's debut. He's coming in at 11-1. I think he's going to be well overmatched here against Cody Stamann.
And then you got Diego Fajeya, 10th ranked lightweight against 13th ranked lightweight Beneil Dariush. What do you think of this one?
Probably one of my favorite fights on the card. Yeah, it is my favorite fight on the card, I think. This is a really good one. These guys went at it about 6 years ago, and Dariush won a decision. And since then, man, CDF, Fajeya, he's hardly lost. He hasn't lost in, it's been 5 years or so. It's Dustin Poirier beat him, and he hasn't lost since. And so this is kind of one of those fringe top 10 fights. The winner is going to put them in position to take on a big name after this. Dariush coming off a big win over Holtzman last time out. He's hot too. Both these guys really bring it. This is a really hard, in my opinion, the hardest fight to call in the whole card.
And Fajeya, a slight favorite at minus 125 over Beneil Dariush. The undercard, you got some big-time vets. That'll be the main fight on the undercard. Michael Johnson against Clay Guida. You got Mike Rodriguez against Danilo Marquez. Timur Valiev against Martin Day. You got Justin James versus Devontae Smith. Women's bantamweight, Carol Rosa versus Jocelyn Edwards, who just fought. I think she fought in Fight Island, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, she won.
Yep. Molly McCann against Lara Procopio. You got Yusef Zalal against Sung Woon Choi, and Odie Osborne against Jerome Rivera. What stands out to you, Tim, about that undercard?
We'll say the main card is definitely stacked. The undercard, not so much of importance, but there's still some fun fights. You know, Michael Johnson, Clay Guida, not a huge fan of that fight. I think both these guys are some OGs, but having them fight each other, I feel like at this point, if you're going to keep guys like that around, they should be as kind of like gatekeeper slash name opponents for your up and comers that you're trying to build. That said, Michael Johnson, I think, should win, but he's shown us so many times that he can figure out about any way to lose. I wouldn't be able to put a lot of faith in a Michael Johnson play. Timur Valiev was a very high prospect coming in. He got upset in his debut. He'll look to turn it around against the Hawaiian Martin Day. I think that's a fight that Valiev should win. And then beyond that, man, Yusef Zalal, he's always in fun fights. I think he gets past the Korean Choi.
Carol Rosa, the Brazilian, is a minus 225 moderate favorite over Jocelyn Edwards. Do you agree with that?
I do. I don't think that Edwards is going to have the size, honestly, to be able to hang with Rosa. Rosa's really good. She's pretty tough. I go with Rosa in this one.
Both young and terrific records, very talented. All right, so that is a look at UFC Vegas 18. Prelims will begin on ESPN Plus at 5 p.m. The main card on ESPN Plus at 8 p.m. The UFC is back tomorrow night. We'll have a full recap of that show next week. Lightning Round, presented by Knoxville Martial Arts Academy, is next with a look at the rest of the UFC early 2021 cards that have main events already determined. We'll break that down next on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Live.
There's still a lot of MMA to tell you about and react to. Since we're short on time, we'll have to make it quick, but we promise it'll be good. Here's the MMA Lightning Round on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Back back here on In the Cage, MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal with Tim Loy. I am Vince Ferrar. Appreciate you joining us each week here on the Sports Animal, 8 until 9 p.m. every Friday night, looking back and looking ahead to UFC and MMA shows and all the different promotions and regionally here with Valor Fighting Challenge. The Lightning Round each week is powered by KMAA. They offer classes for children, classes in self-defense, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, MMA, personal training, kickboxing, yoga, and martial arts. From the in-depth training at KMAA, many of the students have catapulted themselves into professional careers in the UFC, Bellator, and Invicta fighting promotions. They will help you achieve your goals. Call them at 865-771-9775 or visit their website at knoxmma.com, located at 4201 Martin Mill Pike in Knoxville. We had some comments from Stephen A. Smith that really got some fighters reacting to it and not happy with Stephen A. Smith. Apparently, the ESPN analyst that's all over the place on Four Letter Network said, quote, "I don't want to see women fighting in the octagon again." Now, that's a quote from a story. I don't know the context of it. I don't know if he cleaned that up afterwards, but a whole lot of fighters reacted to it that are not happy. Even the reporters from the network, and just something that people were like basically telling Stephen A. Smith to shut up. I don't know why you would say that. It's really ridiculous because the women, they're just as entitled to do it as the men. It's so entertaining. Their skill sets are still on display. There's really should be no difference in the women and the men as far as the entertainment, as far as them choosing to do that as a profession.
Oh, yeah, 100% agree. There's pretty much not a leg to stand on for Mr. Stephen A. Smith. My question is, like, why is Stephen A. Smith talking about MMA on ESPN? Like, where, like, are there no other more qualified people to talk about MMA on ESPN? At the same time, like, why else do you listen to Stephen A. Smith besides to hear what outlandish opinions he's going to have so you can either laugh at them or be mad at them? You know, so he's doing what he does.
Yeah, and whether he intended to say that, who knows, maybe he apologized about it later, but he's gotten a lot of reaction from fighters as it is, but it has been involved. I mean, he's done Conor McGregor one-on-one interviews. They do involve him in ESPN's coverage, especially of big events. They'll have him on SportsCenter talking about it, and who knows, they're intertwining a lot of their analysts. Ariel Helwani earlier this week was a courtside reporter at an NBA game.
So, I saw that.
Yes, crazy. So the calendar notables that are on the way, obviously the pay-per-views, and we'll talk about this next week, Tim, and we hit on it earlier when we were going through our bold predictions for 2021, Usman versus Burns. You've also got Macy Barber, Alexa Grasso on that, and some other good fights on that card. But man, that really is a nice early pay-per-view for the UFC.
Yeah, I'm stoked for that one. That's the next big one, some really nice fights that are relevant in all their divisions.
Yeah, after that, they go back to UFC Fight Night, Blaydes versus Lewis. Then they've had a change on the next one after that for the 27th. It's now Rosenstrunk versus Gane as the main event on February 27th. Then they go back to pay-per-view with that Blachowicz versus Adesanya light heavyweight title fight. And on there, Amanda Nunes and Megan Anderson, Pieter Jan, Aljamain Sterling, three title fights there at UFC 259. And Tim, fans, according to Dana White, back in Vegas at the Apex for that one.
That's exciting to hear, man. That's baby steps in the right direction. So, nobody's more stoked to hear that than me.
Yep, no doubt. And you guys have been doing it successfully at the world famous Cotton Eye Joe and other venues on the regional level with some fans, social distance and all the precautions. UFC Fight Night, March 13th, Edwards versus Chimaev, then Brunson versus Holland the following Saturday, then UFC 260, Miocic against Ngannou that we talked about earlier. Also on that card will be Volkanovski and Ortega in a title fight. Then some more that have been announced, April 10th, it'll be Till versus Vittori, April 17th, Whitaker versus Costa. So those are a couple of the more recent additions to the spring calendar. And you got a couple more fight nights after that, Tim, and pretty exciting. I think these are overall pretty strong main events that the UFC has lined up.
Yeah, I'm not over the moon for Brunson Holland, or honestly not for Rosenstruck and Gane either. But yeah. Hey, the pay-per-views are more than making up for it. So you're not going to hear me complain.
Yeah, and they're deep as well for those pay-per-views. I'm with you on that. And then, of course, a couple of Valor Fighting Challenge alums will be in action. February 27th, Ronnie Lawrence. February 20th, Nate Landwehr. So that'll be fun to see those guys. And there'll be others, I think, that we've had on the show with local connections that I think will be added to these cards.
Oh, yeah, I agree. You know, so many cards coming up, so many undercard spots to fill.
Somebody get Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman to Las Vegas, please.
Yeah, no doubt.
Need to see him back in the octagon. All right, Tim, awesome job. Really appreciate it. We'll look back on Valor Fighting Challenge 78, the world famous Cotton Eye Joe, on next week's show, as well as UFC Vegas 18. And then we'll look ahead to the next pay-per-view for the UFC as well. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next week. Awesome job.
Thanks a lot, Vince. Talk soon.
All right. That is Tim Loy from Valor Fighting Challenge. I'm Vince Ferrar. Thank you so much for listening. Podcast drops here in just a little bit. Make sure you tell your friends to subscribe to In the Cage MMA Radio, wherever you get your podcast, here on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Good night.
Thanks for listening to In the Cage MMA Radio, as Vince and Tim bring you inside the fight game of MMA with this unique weekly one-hour show. Join us again next Wednesday night, 8 to 9, on 99.1, The Sports Animal.